We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's February 14th. It is the day of love. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day. Joined today by my good buddy, Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, we got 12 NBA games. The last podcast for about a week, we got the NBA All-Star break coming up this weekend. Daytona 500, ton of stuff happening with that, but no NBA. Last NBA. Because I think there's like two or three games on Thursday, but we'll be back in about a week. What's happening, my friend?
Yeah, monster slate here. I think we're going to have all kinds of shenanigans as well as the All-Star break looms for sure. Tons of teams on back-to-back. It's going to be a crazy one. It cannot be worse than the Tuesday night slate for me, though. I mostly faded the Miami value that was looking to be pretty popular early in the slate, hoping to get some news later on in the slate. And it looks like everybody's going to play. And Miami absolutely crushed. Jovic smashed. Duncan Robinson smashed. Even Kevin Love got there late. So looking like a rough night on Tuesday night for me. But hopefully we'll get it back on this nice big slate here before the All-Star break.
Yeah, big slate. I'm 2-0 in bets. I bet three things. I was super busy. I had to go over to the racetrack today. So didn't play any DFS. I know Bam had he had a good game, right?
Yeah, Ben played well. Hero busted, but everybody, yeah. Pretty much everybody else on the Heat got there. Jaquez was the one Heat value piece I did have, ended up not starting, and he did not get there.
Yeah, I mean, so very interesting slate, but yeah, ended up doing some bets. 2-0 so far, took Jonathan Isaac over blocks and steals, and then we did the squad ride, which was Claxton under, I think, 22.5 points and rebounds. And we talked about him yesterday, how Sharp and Simons playing is going to hurt that. So when I saw that was a squad pick, I was super happy about that. So if you are not in the RG Discord, you should get in it, rotogrinders.com/Discord. That way you can take advantage of the squad ride. So each day, one of us, right now it's Chief, we'll pick a scores and odds post. You can't pick your own, and something you're confident in, everybody jumps on. You have some fun with it. We had one a couple weeks ago, and it was about a week ago, that went 10 picks in a row, Alex.
Yeah, so incredible there run there.
Yeah, no pressure, guys, but the wife's Valentine's Day gifts depends on y'all's picks. Oh, wrong podcast. we're a first look podcast, so don't put too much weight in this one. This is like
especially on this slate. Yeah. This one's going to be way different by the time it tips off. But we're definitely here to break it down, different scenarios and things like that. We'll talk about the good spots, but keep in mind things can certainly and most definitely will change on this slate.
I have a couple bets I like, so I will say that there's a couple things that I've already bet. We get started here as I get a tickle in my throat. Atlanta, excuse me. Atlanta at Charlotte, 237.5 total here. Atlanta, 7-point favorite. Capella and Okongwu out. Matthews out as well. On the Charlotte side, Ball and Williams out. Let's talk about the Atlanta situation here. I mean, is this a spot where they're going to have to play Bruno Fernando 25-plus minutes? I mean, no Okongwu, no Capella. Next man up situation, I would assume it's going to be Fernando. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, this is an awesome game environment. Two teams that play pretty fast, Atlanta especially. Neither one plays defense, so we definitely want some pieces from this game. Capella and Okongwu both out. How do they not play Bruno Fernando? You have Nick Richards on the other side. He's a pretty big guy. The game could go small at times, but Richards is a guy who generally plays 30 minutes a night. I'm trying to like even think who they could run as a small ball five. It's probably Jalen Johnson.
Right?
Yeah. But he's not the biggest dude in the world. I'm not sure he has enough size. He has the length to maybe contain Richards. But like, maybe DeAndre Hunter, like they don't have a ton of size outside of Bruno. I don't think they're going to play him for much more than like 24, 25, that range. And more likely, I think they would like to keep him in the 22 minute range, but man, they may not have any options. If Richards is eating whenever Fernando comes off the floor, like you could see 28, 30 minutes from Bruno Fernando, and he's a really good per minute guy. Assuming that he stays out of foul trouble, I think 25 minutes is absolutely a possibility in this spot. And no matter how much news we get, Fernando's going to be one of the top values on the slate.
Jalen Johnson is one of my favorite plays today. I don't want that to go overlooked. This is a phenomenal spot. His shot attempts are in that double digit range. He's going to get more rebounds in this game because Charlotte doesn't rebound. And I mean, this is in a spot that he can get assists, steals, blocks. I think that this is one of those like spots where you're looking at Jalen Johnson going, I really think Jalen Johnson could go for like 50 plus fantasy points. I mean, this is that type of game. So ton of interest in Jalen Johnson here. Put up 39 fantasy points against this team earlier this year. I think the situation's a lot different here with Noah Kongwu and Capella. Fernando, top end value play. I think DeAndre Hunter on the cheap side at 5K is worth taking some shots on here. Trae Young is phenomenal. If you think this game's going to stay close, DeJounte is in play as well. Don't think I'd play both of those guys together. My main target here from Atlanta is going to be Jalen Johnson. Charlotte side of this one, new look Charlotte team. You know, we keep talking about it. Trey Mann, I think he at 5K is still too cheap if he's going to be playing this type of minutes. I think that he's going to be a top end like value play until they price him differently. What are your thoughts here on Charlotte?
Yeah, I completely agree with the Trey Mann call. We saw Micic close the first game that they rolled him out here, but Mann did play 34 minutes in that last one. I expect Mann to be the lead guard on this Charlotte team, at least until LaMelo returns, if LaMelo returns. Micic is still an interesting pivot. He's 4K, so you save $1,000. But Miles Bridges is the guy with the awesome role on this team without LaMelo. Brandon Miller has not played well with the arrival of Trey Mann and the new guys. Seth Curry is there as another shooter. Like, we saw Brandon Miller take a big leap at first after the trades, but now that the Trey Mann and Micic have kind of worked into the rotation, Grant Williams as well. Miller has not played well the last couple of games. Miles Bridges has. Bridges is more expensive, but I think he's still my target here. Atlanta is an awesome matchup. So this Charlotte team is worth figuring out. Grant Williams has been phenomenal in his two games with Charlotte as well. He's 4,300. I definitely think he's worth taking a look at. The shot attempts, double digit shot attempts in each of the first two games with Charlotte. He's been active on the boards as well. 30 minutes in each of the two games. Grant Williams at 4,300, I think is a top value as well.
I like that call. He closed the second and fourth quarters. So first and second halves in that Pacers game. That was a close game. They ended up winning. So they closed with him, Martin, Miller, Micić, and Bridges. So Trey Mann played 33 minutes, and he didn't close that fourth quarter. So I think that's definitely something to kind of pay attention to. I like Trey Mann's value still. We talked about him. You talked about Bridges and his role. I'm a little down on Brandon Miller, but we kind of want Brandon Miller to struggle a little bit and like let his price come back down in that low 6K range, and we can take advantage of it again. He has upside on every single slate. I mean, he does. He's a good shooter.
We didn't talk about Nick Richards like we did on in the Atlanta side, but I think he's very much in play as well. Minutes have been down a little bit recently, but Atlanta doesn't have any size in this matchup. So if he can get upper 20s minutes at 5,600, Nick Richards very much in play too.
The only thing that I'm concerned about, like looking at this matchup, is like we see Grant Williams play a lot more and Nick Richards just kind of gets weeded out. Like we've seen Grant Williams against Jalen Johnson at the five or Sadiq Bey, like somebody like that. Like, so while I don't mind Richards, if they use Richards, if they play him 30 minutes in this game, I think he has a lot of upside. I'm just worried about him losing minutes in this game. And I think Grant Williams, I think I said it, but if I didn't say it, I think Grant Williams is one of the best value plays on the slate today.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Miami at Philadelphia, 223.5 total in this game. Philadelphia, a 3-point favorite. Miami, second end of a back-to-back. We'll kind of see. We know Jimmy Butler won't play. They said he's not going to play. I assume that a sprained knee for Rozier means that he's not going to play in this game. And we know that Josh Richardson is going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So we know on the Miami side, we're likely not getting Butler, Rozier, or Richardson. Does Robinson play on the second end of a back-to-back dealing with the injury? Does Kevin Love play on the second end of a back-to-back? Just being Kevin Love. And then on the Philadelphia side, Batum, Covington, Embiid, Harris, and Melton are out. Let's go Miami first. Like you said, a lot of potential. They had a ton of potential. They crushed Milwaukee. I mean, they beat Milwaukee by a 26. They played great defense. We saw big games here from Jovic, like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. Bam had a triple-double. He played phenomenal. Off the bench, Kevin Love had 19 actual points and 8 rebounds. When Kevin Love is getting minutes, he's going to produce. I mean, he's just that type of player. Jaquez, he did okay. Not fantasy-wise, he's like a 12-3-4 game. What do you like here for Miami on the second end of a back-to-back?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to know what they're going to do. Like you said, we know they're going to be at least in as good of a situation as they were on Tuesday with Butler, Rozier, and Richardson out again. And it's the All-Star break coming up. There's no reason for them to push those guys. Rozier, the only one I think who is not already ruled out. They said he was week to week, so there's just no reason
for him. I highly doubt he plays. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not playing in this one. It wouldn't surprise me if they rest like Kevin Love in this spot. Jovic is assuming that he starts again, and why wouldn't he after the game he just put up? 3,100 would be my first look again. Duncan Robinson should have a role dealing with that injury. Maybe he sits again as well. Like they could be extremely shorthanded, even more shorthanded than they were on Tuesday. But no matter what, like assuming that Bam plays in this spot, he should absolutely smash. Philly has been beaten up inside with Embiid on the sidelines. Paul Reed is just not a fantastic defender inside. Bam should absolutely feast again. A little hesitation because of the back-to-back, but I mean, it's just it's another awesome spot for Bam. Jovic is way too cheap, assuming that he's starting again. I'll go back to Jaquez. He's should have the ball in his hands a ton with Butler and Rozier and Richardson all out. He's essentially their backup point guard, which is why I don't think they'll start him. Opens up the opportunity for somebody like Jovic again. But I still have interest in Jaquez, even though he was one of the worst performers on Tuesday.
Yeah, Jovic, if he starts again, is the best value play on the slate. You don't overthink it. I mean, you just play him. So really like him. The shot attempts were very spread out. I mean, that's the concerning thing here when you're looking at value. Caleb Martin only took like 3 shots. He was really cheap on FanDuel. Tyler Hero, he only took 16 shots. We all kind of assumed that his shots would be up, but Jovic shot so well. Robinson shot so well. So I think overall, for me in this spot, it's Jovic very high up on the list if he starts again at 3,100. But it's also like just sprinkling shots of Robinson, Hero, and Bam. I mean, Philly's going to be shorthanded in this game too. Like we talked about it. No Tobias, no Embiid, no Batum, no Melton. Let's talk about Philadelphia just in general here. Buddy Hield has come over and he's been playing big minutes. He's 6,300. This is not the same Buddy Hield that we have had all season. He's come over here and he's like, hey, they're going to let me shoot. And he's shooting. So I don't know what the situation was with him with Indiana, but I think we have to like what we're seeing from him in this Philadelphia uniform. If he keeps shooting, he's going to, you know, be a guy that we're looking at. Paul Reed, he's someone that's going to play minutes in this game. Mo Bamba off the bench is going to play minutes, but I think we're going to find better value plays in general. What do you like here for Philly?
Yeah, I would start with Buddy Hield as well. Tyrese Maxey has honestly been a little bit disappointing since Embiid has been out. He's had a couple big games in there, but like you figured Maxey is the one who would just absolutely take over and just have enormous usage. He's been a little bit disappointing, so I would much rather save the money and go down to Buddy Hield, who's playing big minutes and he's shooting it really well, like you said. So 6,300, I think he has a ton of upside in the spot. Kelly Oubre right there at 6,200, I think has upside to pay off that price tag as well. I don't think I would touch Paul Reed, assuming Bam is in on the other side. Just a really tough matchup for him, where guys like Hield and Oubre are in much better spots, in my opinion. Campaign has played well as well. He's at 4K. He's not playing a ton of minutes, low 20s. And I think there's going to be enough value on the slate where we don't have to mess with that. On a different slate, I wouldn't hate a shot on Campaign, but probably don't need it on this slate.
I think like when you're looking at Campaign and like KJ Martin from the same team, I think we would prefer Campaign though. Like if you're going to play one of the value guys, I think I'd lean Campaign, but I just don't think you're going to need it today. By the time this slate kicks off, there's going to be 10 to 15 notifications on our phones from the RG app saying like who's in and who's out here. Because this is the perfect opportunity if you don't have the back-to-back on Thursday to rest your guys for almost a week.
Yep.
All right, we got the Knicks and the Magic. 214 total. Orlando, 2.5-point favorite. OG, Randall and Mitrob out. Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, questionable. Orlando, second end of a back-to-back. They did not have anybody on the injury report for Tuesday's game, so we'll see if anything comes out. They have been resting some people on the back-to-back, just in general. DiVincenzo has been playing fantastic. Hurt his hamstring the other night. Still ended up playing like 41 minutes in that game. So we'll see if he plays or not. Hartenstein, he's been banged up. He's been in or out. Precious has really been playing a ton of minutes with Hartenstein out. My biggest thing here is this is a perfect opportunity to sit DiVincenzo and Hartenstein, and I don't love the matchup for anybody from New York, but I mean, Brunson's usage would be through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on DiVincenzo and Hartenstein. They're like, there's no reason for them to push them. I think they sit this game and then they get the full week off, especially Hartenstein. Like there's no reason for it. I assume that means that Precious plays over 40 minutes again. he's just been doing that on a regular basis for like 2 weeks. The price tag is sky high, but he's going to play 40 minutes. There's upside. Like you said, not the best matchup here. Brunson, probably the other one I would look at if DiVincenzo is out. Not a great matchup for him either. But if DiVincenzo is off the floor, like who's going to take the shots? Certainly Bojan will take some. We know Alec Burks likes to chuck. But Brunson should have as much usage as he wants if DiVincenzo is out. The cheap guys, Bojan, just I'm not sure of the role. It's a little bit concerning. Only 23 minutes in that Houston game. If I knew he was getting 30 minutes, I'd have interest at 5,900. But I'm a little concerned about the role. Kind of the same with Alec Burks. And because it's a difficult matchup and a huge slate, I probably don't need to mess with it here.
Burks is just shooting terribly. I don't know what was going on with Bojan. He was 53% from the field. You would assume that he would have gotten more minutes in that game, but Yeah, Jericho Sims played like 29 minutes still, just doesn't do much. So not typically a guy I want to play. And I mean, honestly, this is a really tough matchup for the Knicks. The Magic are a great defensive team. Both of these teams play slow. This game has a 214 total. I mean, it's the lowest total on the slate. It's lower than Houston and Memphis. So it's just not a, like a juicy game by any means. Looking at the Orlando side, I just want to kind of see if anybody sits or not. Again, not a game that I love. Obviously, you could take shots on like Franz or Paolo if you wanted to. I'm not really interested in a lot of Magic players here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, New York has been playing awesome defense, but they could be really shorthanded in this spot. So I don't hate chasing upside with Paolo or Franz. I don't think we'll need the Jonathan Isaac value that was in play on Tuesday night. I don't think it'll be in play in this game. Shout out to you, Van Gundy, on the broadcast Tuesday. I was watching the game, said that Isaac might be one of the best defensive players in the NBA. And I was like, well, Stevie's been saying that all season long. So shout out to you and your Magic. But I don't have a ton of interest here either. I think I'm chasing ceiling with Paolo. Maybe Franz is about the only thing.
Yeah, terrible game. And maybe he was just nervous with them retiring Shaq's jersey or something, because he was like minus 24 or something. The bench got absolutely crushed. Everybody off the bench, like Anthony, Mo Wagner, Isaac, they just all played terrible. I was watching that game and they got crushed. But anyway, yeah, just not a ton of interest in Orlando unless they start ruling some people out. But they play too many minutes. Like Gary Harris gets enough minutes where it like matters, and like Fultz and Suggs and Anthony, like they all just play minutes, and it's frustrating. But we got Brooklyn at Boston, same game. We just had this game. I don't know if this is like a makeup game or something because of like the in-season tournament or something along those lines where they just needed to make up a game somewhere. But here we are. 226.5 total, Boston 13-point favorite. Back-to-back for both teams. We'll see. Porzingis ended up missing the game on Tuesday. Wouldn't shock me after they beat Brooklyn if they sit him out again. Cam Johnson is on track to play. Who knows? Let's go Brooklyn here first. We did get the notification before the podcast started. We were talking about it, but Ben Simmons is not likely to play in this game, which not likely to play means he's probably going to sit. So what do you like here for Brooklyn on the second end of a back-to-back? Thomas and Bridges were the two like main pieces that had really solid games against Boston here on Tuesday.
Yeah, I didn't like the game much on Tuesday, and I don't like it much again here unless we get multiple pieces out. I'm surprised at that Cam Johnson news as well. Thought for sure they would rest him through the All-Star break. Not surprised by Ben Simmons sitting this one out at all. I think that raises the ceiling for Claxton, a guy we were fading on Tuesday night for sure, took his under and hit it. I think it's a better spot for him now. I know De'Ron Sharp is back, and that could potentially limit his minutes, but still feel like Simmons is really the guy that hinders Claxton's upside. So I'm not saying I want to play him against Boston. I just think he's a better play Wednesday than he was on Tuesday. I don't have a ton of interest in this Brooklyn team. It's probably Bridges or Cam Thomas as a guy to just score a bunch of points in this spot, but it's a really tough matchup. So unless Boston is resting multiple pieces, I'm probably not looking for Brooklyn exposure. On the Boston side, I think that they'll probably rest Horford for sure on the back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that means they'll need Porzingis, but certainly Horford, I think, will be out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, as far as like Claxton is concerned, Simmons has been eating into his rebounds. So, yeah. You know, that was one of the reasons that we liked the under so much for him on Tuesday. And like Horford played 37 minutes and played big minutes, and Horford just being out there is definitely different. And then like overall for me, if Horford sits and Porzingis sits, then you're getting a lot of like Cornette, and I think that's a matchup that Claxton can win. So I want to see what happens here on the Boston side. Outside of Claxton, sure, you could take shots on a guy like Bridges. He just does everything. But it's just not my favorite spot. I know he had a big game. I don't think I want to chase it. On the Boston side here, you know, obviously we're going to be assuming that Horford sits because he doesn't play back-to-backs. And if Porzingis is in or out will definitely matter. This like back thing for him has been, you know, kind of, I feel like they've kind of been resting him a little bit when they can. So maybe they bring him back in this one because Horford's going to sit. Maybe they sit them both and we get Kornet value at 3,600. What do you like here?
I mean, Tatum's the guy that just went absolutely nuts on Tuesday night. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of Tatum and Brown sit in this game either. Like, Boston could just, I think both of these teams, honestly, could just kind of punt the game and say, let's take the week off and get into the All-Star break. But we'll see what happens on that front. Assuming that Porzingis is back, it's, again, not a game that I have a ton of interest in. Tatum is about the only piece I want if Porzingis is in there. Maybe a couple shots on Porzingis. I'm just not convinced he's fully healthy. It's always Tatum over Brown for me, and I think I'm just chasing the stud that goes off again. And I won't have a ton of Tatum if everybody's in.
Yeah, like Porzingis, when he's been playing, he's been really good in his 28 to 32 minutes. He just really hasn't had like that 35 to 40 minutes ceiling, and they just haven't needed him to do that. So even in games that like Horford sits, like his minutes don't necessarily go up. Middle of January was the last time he played over 35 minutes. So we're almost in the middle of February, and this is the gift. This is like the last game before the All-Star break. So yeah. And like Tillman, someone in chat said Tillman, he has been dealing with like a knee injury. I don't think they're rushing him back, because I do think they want him to be a part of this team just in general.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Indiana at Toronto, 242.5 total in this game. Pacers a 3.5-point favorite. We got Halliburton, Mathurin questionable, Jalen Smith out. RJ Barrett questionable for Toronto, and it's a personal question mark. So we'll see. He missed Tuesday's practice too, so we'll see if he's in or out here. Let's go to Indiana first. What do we like here for the Pacers?
Tyrese Halliburton played 34 minutes. We are so close to full-blown Tyrese Halliburton territory, and this is a great matchup against Toronto. They've really struggled on the defensive end since trading away Anunoby and Siakam. I think this might be the day that I just jump all in on Tyrese Halliburton. I love this spot for him against Toronto. If you guaranteed me you'd play 34 minutes again, I think he's too cheap at 8,900. Even if I only get 31, 32 minutes, I still think he can smash in this spot. So Halliburton is my guy here for Indiana. I don't have a ton of interest in the rest of the team now that Halliburton's working back to full strength. Like Miles Turner, I suppose you could take shots on. Siakam just hasn't shown a ton of ceiling. I do think he's better with Halliburton playing more minutes.
Hold on. You're just overlooking the fact that like he's going back to Toronto here.
Oh yeah, I did completely overlook that.
You okay, know, I'm not a huge revenge person, but there is no way Siakam doesn't put up at least 15 plus shots in this game.
You make a good point, sir.
Listen, whether you want to play the angle of revenge or the fact that like he's getting a matchup that is winnable, it's just, listen, he's going back to Toronto. He's going to be pumped for this game. There's no doubt.
I'm not a huge revenge narrative person, especially when it's like a year and a half later and it was a mutual like separation of ways.
No which, mutual here.
Yeah, and it was like 2 weeks ago, so it's very fresh in Siakam's mind. I completely agree with you. He's going to be looking to go off in this spot.
I already bet his point over.
I still like Halliburton, but you're absolutely right. Siakam is very much in play.
Yeah, I already took his, I think it was 21 and a half or something like that. So I already took the over on that. Full revenge bet. That's all it was. No stats needed. Let's go to the Toronto side. Just like, all right, if they're going to run like Kelly Olynyk, no offense to like Kelly Olynyk and like Bruce Brown and these guys out to try to stop Siakam, it's just not going to work. Like that's the thing, right? Like that's the difference. As far as Toronto, if Barrett is out, I love this spot for Barnes and Quickly. Way more interest in Barnes than Quickly, just because like kind of want to see Quickly's minutes get back up into that range. But I think if in a close game, he would play 35 plus minutes. But I mean, Barnes is not going to come off the floor outside of getting some breaks here. Love Scotty Barnes if Barrett sits.
Barnes is going to be the guy they try to neutralize Siakam with, isn't he? I mean, he guards the ball a lot too, but I don't know, that's an intriguing matchup for sure. RJ Barrett is a guy that I've played a bunch since coming to Toronto. It's worked out pretty well. I do want some exposure to this Toronto side as well. Indiana has been a team we've attacked all season long, so it is a little bit more difficult now with a couple of new pieces here. I still think it's Barnes, Barrett, and Quickly are the main three. Not a big Poeltl spot for me. Should be a fast paced up and down game. Give me Barrett, Barnes, and Quickly are the three Toronto guys I want to target.
I have one more Toronto player, but I'm not going to tell you. There you go. That is your let's get weird GPP play that you can wait for, in the world of, podcasting, and call that a tease. Chicago at Cleveland.
As long as it's not Gary Trent, we're good.
It's not good. I don't ever talk about Gary Trent. Chicago at Cleveland, 220 and a half total here. Cleveland, a 9-point favorite. Caruso questionable. Levine and Williams out. Wade questionable for Cleveland. Terrible spot for the Bulls. Just terrible spot in general for the Bulls. But, you know, it is here. What are your thoughts here when it comes to Chicago?
Yeah, really tough spot. I do think this Bulls team has more upside with Levine out, or like DeRozan and Kobe White have more upside without Levine, obviously. We saw Io play extremely well without Caruso in the last game. I don't love this spot for them against Cleveland. It's a really tough spot. Even if Caruso misses, I don't think I have a ton of interest in the Bulls. Torrey Craig is cheap again, but I think the value on the slate is going to be plenty where we don't need to chase Torrey Craig. He did start and play 27 minutes in the last game and actually performed pretty well, put up 28 DK points. So like, he's not the worst play in the world, assuming Caruso's out and he's starting again, but I think there's better value that we'll have on the slate.
I don't love this game, just in general here, but yeah, like if Caruso ends up sitting, I think that AU is someone we could take shots on. His minutes have just been through the roof here recently. And I was very high on Kobe White the other night against Atlanta, and like AU just had a phenomenal game. It's not like Kobe White even played terrible. He just had a really bad first half in that game. Not a ton of interest in Chicago overall, and honestly, just not a ton of interest in Cleveland overall. Everyone's kind of priced appropriately. Mobley coming back has hurt Allen a little bit for him to be 7,100. He would probably be my favorite if I was going to target something here on the Cleveland side. But I mean, Mitchell at 9,700, I just like guys in this range a little bit more than Mitchell in better matchups.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for Cleveland just because Chicago plays so slow. I'm not sure if it's still the case. They were the slowest team in the NBA. I actually have it here. Still dead last in pace are the Chicago Bulls. So it's just a slow game environment overall. Mobley's not playing full minutes yet. Garland's getting close, but still 31s the most he's played. I don't think I can target Cleveland in this spot. I think Mobley is the guy, and if he's not going to play 30 minutes, it's really tough to want to target him in a slow-paced game.
It's just not my favorite game. That's all I got. Houston at Memphis. Hey, going from that game to this game, it's a 12-game slate. We can be picky. There's going to be a lot of value on the slate. There's going to be a lot of things to target on the slate. We can be picky. Houston at Memphis, 217.5. Houston, 4-point favorite. Adams, Eason, Van Vliet, Whitmore out. Bullock questionable. Bane, Clark, Ja, Pittman, Smart out. Rose and Zaire Williams questionable on the Memphis side. It's like writing a book when you do Memphis injury report. Let's talk Houston here first. Any interest here in Houston?
Yeah, I mean, just a really shorthanded Memphis team. I think with Van Vliet still out, Amen Thompson very much in play still. 38 minutes in that last game was very nice to see. Price tag at 6,500. Still think there's some meat on that bone. Jabari Smith definitely in play as well. Shengun is probably the highest upside play. I definitely think you can take some shots there. Price has come off that 9K a little bit. Hasn't shown a ceiling in quite a while, but this is a good spot for him to get back on track against Memphis. They don't have a ton of bigs or just front court bodies in general. Traded away Xavier Tillman, all the injuries that they're dealing with. I think it's a good spot for Shengun to get back on track. Jalen Green has been a guy who's shown off some ceiling here recently, but I don't love targeting him at a $7,600 price tag. I think I'd save the money and go down to Thompson or Jabari Smith.
I will say that like Thompson and Jabari playing more and more, like it really hurt Sengun's rebounding. So that is my only concern about like paying $8,700 for him in a game that might blow out too. And I would assume like with the All-Star break right around the corner, he'd be one of the first guys off the court. But with Thompson starting, just eating into Sengun's rebounding. So just something to note and pay attention to and continue to watch and see if it becomes like a thing that we need to worry about. So I like Thompson at 6,500. Jabari's starting too. And the rebounding for these two guys have just, it's crushed Sengun's rebounding. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I like Sengun. I just don't know, like, if he's not getting the double-double for the rebounds, is he worth 8,700 at 25 points, 6 assists, and 5 boards? Probably not, right? So that's my concern with Sengun. Don't mind the Jalen Green call. I like Thompson. I like Smith. On the Memphis side, I mean, the only person that I even remotely trust right now is Triple J, and I don't love this spot for him. It's a tough defensive matchup. Williams has been playing a ton of minutes here, at least 35 and 4 straight, and the shot attempts have been anywhere, but the assist rate has been fantastic. He's only 6,200. He'd probably be my favorite here. And then we have been, you know, talking about Santai a little bit recently, but I don't know, necessarily love this matchup for him either.
Yeah, I don't like the matchup for Triple J. Aldama, kind of the same thing. Minutes have been really solid, but tough spot here against Houston. It is worth talking about the point guard situation, though. They've been kind of rotating starts between Gilliard and Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen started the last game, but he got hurt and looks like he'll be out for this game. So Gilliard could potentially play 30-plus minutes in this spot. It's hard to trust him. He's played 30 minutes and not been great before, but he's 3,900. That's a pretty cheap dart to throw. I would say, especially if Derrick Rose is not active for this game, then Gilliard is almost locked into 30 plus minutes. I think you could certainly take shots there. I don't know if I want to target like Trey Jameson. I think has upside or will have upside in the second half. Don't know if he has quite the role yet that we can rely on him. Is GG Jackson out again? I'm not sure of what that situation was. I know he got like suspended. Okay. If he's back, then it's probably not the spot to target Trey Jameson. But I do like Gilliard at 3,900. And I really like him if Rose sits.
All right. We got Washington at New Orleans. 236.5 total here. Pelicans, a 12.5-point favorite. Livers out for Washington. Daniels out. Zion and Zeller questionable. Could be a good spot for them to rest Zion. Give him a couple extra days here. What are your thoughts here on Washington?
This team is never fun. It's a terrible matchup against New Orleans. I will say they're playing a little bit more consistent minutes since their coaching change. Like, we've seen them come away from like the 28 to 30, and now they're more in that 32, 34 range for guys like Kuzma. Abdi has been playing a ton of minutes. Even Tyus Jones. I think the spot I'm looking to here is Marvin Bagley. Like, I have no idea how many minutes he's going to play. He played 28 in the last one, which was pretty solid. The game before that, he started and only played 15 minutes as the game just kind of went small. With New Orleans having Valanciunas and Zion on the other side, I think there's room for Bagley to play 30 minutes in this game. It's not the matchup I want to spend up for Kuzma. Obvious kind of price adjusted for his big minutes recently. So give me a sprinkle of Bagley, but it's not a great spot for Washington.
I got to pull it up, but his point prop has been really low. Denny, that is, like, his point prop has been really low. And I've talked about it the last couple times. Just pulling it up. So he's at 14 and a half. I feel like with his role right now, that's just a low number. So I think I'm going to jump on that one again. After the trade deadline, we sometimes get some value in numbers, and like Denny's shooting a ton right now. So he's hit this prop in five of his last six games. So I think we continue to pay a little bit of juice here at minus 120 and keep betting his point prop. I just fired away at it.
I like it.
But overall, I mean, Washington, not a team that I love. I like the Bagley call. I think there's room for him to play plenty of minutes in this game. They have been playing Colby. He just doesn't do it a lot, man. He just doesn't. Like, he's getting 30 minutes and just not doing a lot with them. So I think if anything here, Denny would be my favorite, and then Bagley. Denny's shots are just what I want to target. If Zion sits, I have a ton of interest in Trey Murphy in this game at 4,900. Fast-paced spot could be a nice value play on this slate. Ton of interest in Brandon Ingram if Zion sits. After that, though, I mean, are we seeing this team like in front of our eyes kind of like switch to like Larry Nance? I don't know what to feel about like Valanciunas and Larry Nance right now, because the last game, I don't know if it was injury or what, but they started Larry Nance in the second half over Valanciunas, and he played huge minutes in the second half of that game. He had an 8-minute stint and then a 10-minute stint. So if we see the news that like Larry Nance is going to start this game instead of Valanciunas, I don't know if it's like they're being careful with Valanciunas' calf injury, but if Larry Nance starts this game at 4K, he might be the best value play on the slate.
We've seen that Nance start the second half over Valanciunas a couple of times in the past few weeks. It's a trend that's been happening, but Nance missed a few games in there for injury, and he's never played 30 minutes. I don't think even when he starts the second half, he usually lands in that like 24 to 26 range. So the 30 minutes, that's entering a whole new territory. If they just outright start Nance, I agree, he's a tremendous value play at 4K. I still am not confident in the minutes, even if he's starting, but you feel better about him than when he's coming off the bench. He's a guy who's a big per minute producer. He doesn't need 28 minutes to smash. He could absolutely smash in 24 minutes. So definitely keep an eye on that. I think Nance is in play regardless of whether he starts, because they have shown a willingness to go to him over Valanciunas, especially to close games. And now if he's going to start the second half as well, which he's done three or four times already. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think he's in play. The rest of my exposure here, it depends a lot on whether Zion plays or not. I think if Zion is in, he's the target, 7,600. He's been playing pretty solid, and the minutes have been pretty solid for him as well. 35 in the last one, 32, 35. Like, he's been in that 35-minute range a lot more often than he was earlier in the season when he was playing like 31, 32 minutes. So I think Zion has a pretty good ceiling at 35 minutes of playing time in a matchup with Washington. Sign me up. We know Washington doesn't rebound very well. So I think you could look at Zion. I think you could look at Valanciunas as well. I don't think anybody's going to touch him with the risk for the minutes to go away. But I think it's a spot where he could absolutely put up 15 rebounds if they do run him out there for 23, 24 minutes. I struggle to get to Ingram and McCollum if Zion is playing. If Zion is out, they're two of the best plays on the slate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like my analysis is very close to yours in this game. Zion matters a ton for the slate for me. And The only thing that I will say, there's no chance I'm playing Valanciunas today.
That's fair. I mean, there's a ton of risk there.
Yeah, the reasoning is, like, he's been dealing with this calf injury. They've been limiting his minutes already. We're about to get a week off. Like, this is a perfect opportunity for them to say, hey, you know what? Let's not hurt that calf. If you want to play, maybe as like a contract incentive to like play, and he ends up playing like 18 minutes or something. I don't trust him whatsoever here. So I'm going to pass personally. San Antonio at Dallas, 241.5 total. Dallas, 11.5 point favorite. Bassey out. And then on the Dallas side, Exum out. Kleber and Lively questionable. So both bigs here are questionable for Dallas. But after what we saw the other night from Gafford, I don't think it matters. Lively would matter, but I think Gafford would start over Kleber, even if Kleber is good to go. San Antonio first. Wimby is... He's a video game. I mean, just another level. I was looking it up. We haven't had a quadruple double since, I think it was Olajuwon in 96 or 94. It's happening. I don't know if it happens this year, but it's happening. I mean, this guy, can you imagine when he starts playing 35 minutes a night? Like, he's going to be in the Luka Jokic price range. And I mean, just a phenomenal play. Outside of him, it's just so hard. Like, we love point guards against Dallas, but it's so hard to trust anybody outside of Wimby. Do we have interest in Trey Jones at 55? Is there better value? I feel like there is. I think it's Wimby or nothing here for me on San Antonio.
Yeah, Wimby is absolutely the guy you're looking at. The ceiling is enormous, as he just showed us again. The minutes not being there does not really matter. He's going to play close to 30 minutes if the game is close. They'll limit him. If the game gets out of hand, he'll probably end up in that 24 range. But if the game is close and he's playing well, he's going to be up 29, 30 minutes. And he's shown it multiple times, plenty of ceiling in 29 minutes. He's went over 50 multiple times, 78 in the last one with the 10 blocks is obviously an outlier performance, but I wouldn't put it past him to do it in any given night. So Wemby's still too cheap, despite the limited minutes. The only other guy I have slight interest in is Devin Vassell. He's shooting the ball a ton. He's very scoring dependent, but I feel like this is a pretty good matchup here against Dallas. Kyrie on the other side doesn't really scare me. Luka doesn't play much defense, so good matchup against Dallas. I think Vassell could find a ceiling game at 6,600.
All right, let's go to the Dallas side here. I mean, obviously, any slate that Luka's on, he's one of the highest ceiling players. His ceiling is a little bit lower when Kyrie's playing. Kyrie's been playing really good. His price is up there where it's tough to play him. Gafford, if he starts, I have interest in Gafford in this spot. But, I mean, gosh, I really want to play Luka. Like, Luka-Wimby combos. And I think it just kind of depends on, like, what we get throughout the day value-wise if we're confident enough to be able to make that work.
I think there will be enough value where we can try some Luka Wemby lineups. And, man, that sounds amazing. I wouldn't
like 150 plus point ceiling.
That is, yes, incredible.
Is it like maybe even higher than 150? Like, the ceiling might legitimately be like almost 80, 200. Right? Yeah,
like 160, I think, for sure is within range. We've seen Luka go for close to 100 before. So, yeah, I mean, you could be looking at like 180 as like a true ceiling. It's insane. But Luka he continues to play so many minutes. Obviously, there's blowout risk, which is why I like the Wemby on the other side call, is because he's the guy that's going to keep this game close. Whether it's through blocks in the paint, holding Dallas down a little bit, or whether he's just scoring a ton, like, to fit the stack in is going to be tough, but I think there's going to be enough value on this slate by the time we get to it. I love the Gafford comments as well. Like, he just looks like he's going to be an absolute force with Luka drawing all the attention, Kyrie spacing the floor a little bit. Like, Gafford really has a chance to go nuts here. 24 minutes and 54 DK points, 55 almost. Like, I don't know that I'd expect that level of output, but he's still only 6,100. Like, you don't need that level of output. If you tell me he's going to play low 20s minutes, I'm on board at 6,100. Don't think I'm touching anything else. Like, so if when Lively comes back, like, I don't think they push him back for this game with the All-Star break looming. But if Lively were to come back and start, I still think they just split the minutes basically, right? 24-24. Lively was never a guy they ran out there a ton anyway. You think Lively would play big minutes?
I don't think Lively plays in this game.
I don't think so either.
I know he's getting close, but I mean, this would give him an extra week recovery time. So I don't think he plays. If he does play, maybe like Kleber just gets knocked out of the rotation and like we see a like 24-24 minute split, which I really like to play Cafford for me. I really want Lively and Kleber to both miss this game, or at least Lively. I'm not worried about Kleber getting 24 minutes. I'm not worried about it. I think ultimately they'd want Gafford to close, and Gafford has more upside. And I think this is a better Gafford spot than Kleber anyway. So I don't think Kleber matters as much as Lively. If Lively comes back, this might be an opportunity. It was like a nose injury, right? So like this is an opportunity for maybe then to get him like 15 minutes of game minutes. And I still don't think that bothers Gafford that much. But I mean, his upside is definitely these guys missing this game.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add.
My Google Chrome right now does not like me. It is so laggy. It's so bad.
I was wondering what was going on over there. You seem very distracted by something.
I'm trying to fix it as we're going. So Daytona week. I have probably 100 more tabs than I normally do. I have so much betting stuff up for the podcast. But anyway. LA Lakers at Utah, 239 total. Utah, a 4.5-point favorite. Lakers will be on the second end of a back-to-back. Utah has nobody on the injury report. This game should be phenomenal. The game with the Lakers here on Tuesday night is kind of Stevie in shambles. Yeah, I am. It's just getting kicked off, but I mean, they're off to a huge start against Detroit. We might not see big minutes down the stretch for these guys. What are your thoughts here on the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who plays, obviously, right? We know AD and LeBron are probably coming into this game with Q tags, as has been the case pretty much all season long. It's a back-to-back in Utah as well, so I have some concerns here. I think there's a decent chance that one of AD or LeBron rests in this game. And if that's the case, like, you just load up Russell and Reeves and whichever of the big guys is playing. It's pretty easy. Interested to see what Dinwiddie's role looks like. I don't think it's going to be a massive role. If anybody, it probably hurts Austin Reeves, I think. We'll have to see what it looks like. Like, there's certainly a chance he could cut into Austin Reeves' minutes, even D'Angelo Russell's, I suppose. But Russell's played pretty well. I feel like he's earning the right to keep the minutes he's playing. But really, it's an awesome spot outside of it being a back-to-back. That's my only concern. And then we'll just see if AD and LeBron play. If everybody's in, I don't have a ton of interest. Probably AD would be my target just for the ceiling game. Great matchup against Utah, but I don't know. It's a tough spot going into Utah on a back-to-back.
For what it's worth, Dinwiddie was the first person off the bench. I was paying attention to that. We got to watch that. If Dinwiddie gets like 25 plus minutes here against Detroit, might take some shots on Dinwiddie at 5,300 against Utah. So I think that's something to pay attention to. It is just a Dinwiddie situation here on Tuesday night and kind of react to that, especially if someone sits. It would just be, I don't see how that would hurt a guy like Dinwiddie if someone ends up sitting in this game. So, I'm crying over here because I closed a lot of tabs to try to – I got to go reopen them all. Utah side of this one, it's always marketing for me. He's always up at the top of my list. I don't necessarily know if I'll get to a lot of him here. It's not – I mean, this game is great, and I definitely don't mind targeting this game. It's just like the pricing is kind of right for marketing, Sexton, Collins, Clarkson. If we thought like Kessler was going to get minutes, you know, you could potentially take some shots on him. I'm going to keep saying, I think Keontae George at 4,200 is something we want to keep talking about because he's eventually going to have a good shooting night. And when he does, he's going to hit his ceiling at 4,200.
Yeah. Two names I have interest in, Walker Kessler and Keontae George. George's minutes have been really solid recently, up to 29 in the last game, but he shot 2 for 10 from the field, like you said. So his performance wasn't great, but the minutes have come up since that they made the trades. They're playing him and Dunn a little bit together. I think Dunn has a little bit more upside than he's had for most of the season as well. But Keyonte George is the guy who I think has big ceiling. So let's catch that big game before he officially breaks out and that price tag starts to go up. I will have some Keyonte George. If people are scared of recent performance, all I see is big minutes. Like you said, the shooting's going to come around for Keyonte George. So love that call. I like Walker Kessler a little bit as well. I know it's a really tough spot, especially if AD plays. But his minutes seem pretty safe in that 26. I think eventually he sees like 28 minutes on a regular basis. Has been back into the starting lineup, starting next to John Collins. I do think that limits his upside a little bit. Like Collins has been playing really well. Has been rebounding a ton. So maybe not as many rebound chances for Kessler as we're used to seeing now that Collins has kind of come around a little bit. But I still think he's too cheap if he's going to play 26, 28 minutes. 5K salary, I can take some shots on Kessler.
The other thing I wanted to just talk about in general here is the fact that they started Keyonte last game. If they end up doing that again, Clarkson's second team usage is going to be massive. So I could see myself taking some shots here on Clarkson if Keyonte starts again, because it's really just like at that point on the second unit, it's going to be Clarkson and Chris Dunn, right? Like those would be your scorers on the second unit. So I was quickly trying to pull up his one game usage from George going to the starting lineup. Let's see what it was. 25%. So yeah, I mean, Jordan Clarkson could be that second unit play if Keyonte George starts. If you think I think this game is going to be competitive, and I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Sacramento at Denver, 230.5 total here. Denver, a 6-point favorite. Sacramento on the second end of a back to back. KCP and Murray questionable for Denver. I mean, even with Jamal questionable, this line seems a little weird. Like the hardest NBA back-to-back is going into Denver. We talk about it all the time. So they're playing Phoenix, tough team, on Tuesday night, and then they have that dreaded back-to-back going into Denver. What are your thoughts here on the Kings?
Yeah, I mean, really tough spot for them. De'Aaron Fox is 7,900. I think you have to look at that. If Sacramento is going to play with Denver in this spot, I think Fox has to play better than he has. Off to a good start on Tuesday night. So if that continues, maybe he's breaking out of his little slump that he's been in over the past month or so. So I don't mind taking shots on De'Aaron Fox at 7,900. I don't know if I can get up to Sabonis in this spot with Jokic on the other side. If I'm playing one of these Kings guys, it's certainly because more than likely that I have Jokic in the lineup and I'm looking to run it back. So probably can't get Jokic and Sabonis. Malik Monk is always a guy I never hate taking shots on. He just has those random spike games every once in a while. And they seem like they've been more frequent here with De'Aaron Fox struggling of late as well. I think Herter and Keegan Murray both are playable as well. Keegan, especially if Trey Lyles is out again. So just keep an eye on the injury report there. But I think some of these secondary pieces in the 5K range are playable. It's not a great spot, but their pricing is cheap enough where they can still find ceilings.
Yeah, I mean, Sacramento side, like, I Fox has been listening to the podcast because I've been smashing this guy. he's like, all right, I gotta shut this Stevie guy up. He's crushing. Sabonis has 40 points, and it's not even halftime yet, fantasy points. So he's just so good. Any given night, Sabonis has that ceiling. Hate the back-to-back aspect and going into Denver. Might stay away from playing a lot of Sacramento. Sabonis would be my favorite. And then on the Denver side, I think Jamal Murray matters a lot for this slate. They kind of priced Reggie Jackson like Jamal Murray was going to sit in this game. I thought that was really interesting to see Reggie Jackson's price get bumped. I don't have FanDuel in front of me. Maybe you could take advantage of it on FanDuel. But Jamal Murray, doubtful from what I just read from Mike Malone's comments here on Twitter. So I assume Murray sits. I mean, does that bump up a guy like Jokic knowing that like he's going to have the ball in his hand a little bit more? Are we paying this price tag for Reggie Jackson? What are your thoughts here on Denver?
Yeah, Murray out is certainly interesting. Jackson at 5,700, like that feels about appropriate. I'll have to dig into that a little bit more. I assume that he jumps into the starting lineup and probably plays 28 to 34 minutes. 5,700 just feels like too much to pay for Reggie Jackson, though. Can't deny the role increase, but that's a big price jump. I like Jokic. I know I certainly want a piece of, especially on DK here, where he's 11-3. I think that's very reasonable. I like the spot. Sabonis doesn't scare me on the other side. I think you can definitely bump ceilings for Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon as well. They're both in play for me. Pace up spot for sure against Sacramento. Denver plays slow, but Sacramento should push the pace here. Peyton Watson potentially. Maybe finds a few more minutes if Murray sits, but it's going to be Jokic first and obviously. And then I think MPJ and Aaron Gordon are both in play. I'll have to do some more digging on the Reggie Jackson stuff. If we get KCP out as well, then we might be going even deeper here to like a Peyton Watson or Christian Brown.
Yeah, I think Christian Brown would be interesting if KCP and Murray both sit. I don't think they'd want to play Justin Holiday a ton of minutes, but maybe, you know, we've seen it here recently. I think Brown has a little bit more upside. I don't like the price for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I don't either.
5.4K on FanDuel too. Like, I mean, I think that price is just too high. Like, do we really think Reggie Jackson's going for 40? Like, because listen, we're gonna have a ton of value on the slate. It's 12-game slate. Like, we need 40, I think, on both sides. I just don't think he's gonna do it. So I think like
he was 3,900 2 days ago. This is definitely the sites being proactive, which you like to see. I mean, there's no reason not to adjust his price for the role that he's expected to have. So they're definitely proactive, expecting Murray to miss this game.
Yeah, I mean, because what, he's 6 to 10% here in that range, probably like 5 to 10%, yep. And then like, yep, if he's 3,900, he's 30%. So,
yep,
good for the sites. All right, Detroit at Phoenix. Both of these teams on a back-to-back. 239.5 total. Phoenix a 14-point favorite. Bradley Beal, highly doubt he plays in this game. Hamstring injury 5 minutes into the game on Tuesday night. Not coming back. Doubt he plays. We'll see on Detroit. Isaiah Stewart's been out. I don't assume that he'll be back, but they did say, I think, like after the All-Star break for him or something. So what are your thoughts here on Detroit?
Tough team. Need to see how this game plays out because we like the trade deadline, obviously. This is a different team, so every bit of information that we have is going to be useful. We saw Fontecchio take a bunch of shots in the first game. Fontecchio jumped into the starting lineup so far on Tuesday night and has absolutely bombed. He's a minus 16 plus minus so far.
One shot attempt.
So yeah. Maybe the Fontecchio experiment is over. This is a really tough team to figure out now that we have a new rotation in what was already a very difficult rotation to figure out. I wouldn't be shocked if Cade sat on the second end of a back-to-back. So this is going to be definitely a wait-and-see game. I think Ivy's going to be in play no matter what. Duren's going to be in play. I don't know what to say about the rest of the team. Cade's in play if he does play on the second night of a back-to-back. But as far as the rest of the rotation goes, with the incomplete second game, so we've seen 1.5 games basically with this group. We'll have to see, I guess, how Tuesday night's game plays out and then what the starting lineup looks like. There's a lot of moving parts here for Detroit.
Well, I mean, I was on Fontecchio yesterday on the podcast, and then they announced, like, Evan Fournier is going to play. What? Out of where? Like, why?
Why? I mean, exactly why?
They have literally, they are, the second quarter is just starting. They've played 11 people. 11 people.
Probably a team to stay away from until they narrow down this rotation a little bit.
Yeah. Might be the best. I mean, like, okay. If we start getting, okay, it's a back-to-back, right? If we start getting some people ruled out, I think you could start looking at Detroit. But if they're going to come into this game and they're going to play 10 deep, how do you play Detroit here? And then it's a 12-game slate. Again, like, it's a huge slate. We're not talking about a 4-game slate. We're talking about a huge 12-game slate. So on the Phoenix side, no Bradley Beal means Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon are going to play more minutes. I mean, fantastic matchup against Detroit. if this game stays close, KD and Booker definitely have some ceiling. Thoughts here on Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, you target ceiling with Durant and Booker for sure. I never played those guys together, but either one of them could absolutely go off in any spot. Great matchup against Detroit, obviously. Blowout concerns, obviously. But I think taking a look at guys like Grayson Allen, Eric Gordon, also very much in play. Nurkic's just not a guy that I play a ton. I don't hate the spot for him, but just the minutes are a bit insecure. Very much like the Valanciunas situation. Like, he just gets played off the court at times. If I knew he was getting 30 minutes, I'd have some interest, but I probably don't need him on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, KD just keeps rebounding. Like, he had one rebound in the first quarter, and I think he's at 6 or 7 now, with halftime kind of ringing. He's just rebounding so well right now. It's so interesting for, like, us to be talking about, like, Kevin Durant, double-double upside with, like, rebounds. He's averaging 6 rebounds per game this season, but if you look at his recent rebounds, like, this is something that I highlighted on the podcast yesterday. He has at least 8 rebounds in 4 or 5, and he's definitely trending towards having at least 8 rebounds here on Tuesday night as well. So when he's rebounding like this, it just adds more upside to him. He's at 6 rebounds at halftime. So, I mean, just continue to take shots on KD for me, especially in like the prop game. Like, his point rebound prop is probably going to be too low for me. So I'll probably jump on that again, but we won't get that until the morning. All right, let's play the morning grind game. 12 games in the books. Bill said this podcast was going to be 100 minutes long. Bill, we are in middle. We are all-star break NBA. We know what we like and we know what we don't like. There'll be situations that we talk through for sure. Baseball right around the corner. Can't wait. Yeah. I mean, TNT showing that Sabonis is on another level. Like, might be sneaky good. We know how good he is. He's playing on another level.
So all consistent, right. Too. He does it, yeah. Like every night. Like, never has that down game.
Yeah, just every single night. Like, gosh, could you imagine Sabonis and Halliburton playing together? Gosh, that would have been a combo.
Yeah, it would
have. I know it wouldn't have worked out, but trade-wise.
Right. It was really hard for them to move that Fox contract. I think they would have loved to trade De'Aaron Fox instead of Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah. And it's hard to play both of them on the floor together. So you get why they had to move one, and Fox's contract was pretty much unmovable. So I guess they had to move Halliburton to clear a path. Getting Sabonis back was a fine return, but they certainly would have preferred to trade Fox, I think.
Do you think Sabonis could win the MVP, or do you think his name is not big enough? Market's not big enough.
Yeah, it's the market that's the biggest problem. Like, Jokic is probably the guy at this point, I would think, that he's going to have trouble overtaking. Like, you talk about the voter fatigue, I guess, with Jokic a little bit. I guess there's a path. Like, SGA kind of has that same problem. I think he should be in the conversation, but he's in a really small market too.
I was just curious what your thoughts were. All right, let's play the morning grind game. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you like?
I'm going to go Bruno Fernando here. Even if he only plays 20 minutes, I think there's a good chance he can go 7X at 3,600.
I like that. I'm going to go Grant Williams. I think there's a road for Grant Williams to play big minutes in this game, especially like this game potentially going a little bit smaller. So play 30 minutes in back-to-back games. Grant Williams at 4,300. Charlotte is shorthanded. I mean, it's not even they're shorthanded anymore. They just kind of traded some people away. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell, just a really slow game environment. I don't think there's anything wrong with Donovan Mitchell, but he's with 9,600 and Chicago plays at the slowest pace in the league. So I think it's going to be tough for him to get there today.
That's what I had written down as well. I agree with you 100%. I don't know who I want to pick now. I guess I'll go Maxi. Tough matchup against Miami. He just hasn't been fantastic recently. I think he's gone over 50 fantasy points, like one out of his last 5 games, and gets a terrible matchup against Miami. So give me Maxi here. Is Sabonis, he is not an all-star? Was he not an all-star?
I don't remember. He certainly has been the last couple of years. I can't remember if he made it this year or not.
Oh my God. TNT popped up something that, like, he's not an all-star?
That's kind of crazy with the year he's having this year, and he has been multiple times in the past. I know.
I'm so curious. He did get snubbed. There's a video 6 days ago. He missed the All-Star. What the heck? Anyway, all right. Favorite 6X play. Sorry, I'm too super distracted by my TV there. How is this guy not an All-Star?
I know somebody who is an All-Star. Tyrese Halliburton. I hope people are sleeping on him today. 8,900. If he's going to play his 34 to 36 minutes in this game, he's too cheap. Awesome matchup as well. So really like Tyrese Halliburton.
I like that call. I'm going to go Wimby. and it's not even the 78 fantasy points last time out. It's the, this dude has so much upside in this matchup. I really like Wimby a lot. So a reserve is not an All-Star, right? I'm tilted by him not being an All-Star.
So he's like an alternate, you mean? If he's an All-Star reserve, he's an All-Star. But if he's an alternate, then he's not.
No, there's articles saying that he's not an All-Star.
Yeah.
Why is Sabonis not an All-Star? I don't pay attention to the All-Star game for what it's worth. I record it and I watch it eventually, but it's Daytona 500 weekend, so I never watch the All-Star break the All-Star game for the last few years now. But I'm so tilted by Sabonis not being an All-Star. He's averaging 21, 14, and 9. He's the definition of an All-Star. All right, I'm done being tilted. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got for us?
I don't know how sneaky this guy is going to be. I hope that Rose is questionable for all day long, basically. And I hope that a bunch of value opens up and people are kind of turned off by Gilliard not performing just to an elite level in these spots that he's been given here recently. But Gilliard, 3,900, tough matchup against Houston. But if Rose ends up getting ruled out, I think he's looking at like 34 minutes in this spot. So I'm going to take some shots on Jake Gilliard.
I like Grady Dick today at 3,300. We were talking about this game. If RJ Barrett sits, this is definitely dependent on RJ Barrett sitting or not. But if RJ Barrett sits in this game, Grady Dick is 3,300. He's played at least 20 minutes in four of the last five games. I think he'd see closer to like 26 to 30 minutes in this game if Barrett sits. This guy has low-key been shooting the ball fantastic recently. He's been double-digit points in three of his last five games. Fantastic matchup here against the Pacers. So Grady Dick is my let's get weird GPP play of the day here at 3,300. Throw you for a curveball there, Keith.
Yeah, I was not expecting that name. I thought somebody dropped in chat Bruce Brown revenge. I thought maybe that's the angle you were going. That was the game you were talking about. But yeah, Grady Dick is not what I was expecting to hear.
Yeah, listen, you made me laugh when you said Gary Trent Jr. Come on, man. We've been doing shows long enough together that you know Gary Trent Jr. is not coming out of my mouth.
I didn't actually think that was coming out of your mouth.
All right. Let's go to the betting portion of the game here. Any pick'em or player props that you like?
Yeah, I like Tyrese Halliburton over 11.5 assists. Talked about him getting up to 32 minutes in that last game. Love the matchup here, or 34 minutes it was. Love the matchup here against Toronto. They've really struggled on the defensive end since the trade deadline. So Tyrese Halliburton expecting those minutes to keep trending upwards, like him over 11.5 assists, leading the NBA in assist rate, of course.
Like it. I'm going to go Jalen Johnson over 28.5 points, rebounds, and assists in this game. Should see more rebounds just automatically with Okongwu and Capella both out. He's played at least 35 minutes now in every game since January 20th. The minutes have been super consistent for Jalen Johnson. Love the spot for him going up against Charlotte. They're a bad rebounding team. They don't play defense. This game projects as one of the fastest paced games on the slate. Really like Jalen Johnson. Have a second one as well. I really like Sengun's under 9.5 rebounds. We were talking about it as we were going through that game. Digging into it a little bit more as we were talking about that game, he has a 15.4% rebound percentage on the season. When Thompson and Smith are both now, who are both now starting or on the floor with him, it goes down to 11.4%. So a 4% decrease in Sengun's rebounding rate. with those guys on the floor. The number, if you look at the game logs, it's going to scare you. But if you look at the last couple of games that these guys starting, his rebounds are way down. So I'm going to play the trends here, and I'm going to take Sengun's under 9.5 rebounds.
That is a great nugget there with the on-off the court stuff. That court IQ tool over at RotoGrinders is one of the most helpful things in the industry.
Yeah, and like I'd be interesting to see what like his rebound chances are the last couple games with like Thompson and Smith starting. So I'll probably dig into that a little bit more, but I bet both of those already. Any final thoughts before we get out of here for a week? We're off for a week.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild one. Should be lots of news with all the back-to-back stuff and a lot of teams being their last game before the All-Star break. So as always, but definitely today, stay tuned into the news cycle.
Enjoy the All-Star break. Refresh. Get that brain sharp. Enjoy some time off. I know some of you will dabble in some NASCAR. You'll probably dabble in some NHL, but take a couple days for yourself as well, especially if you're grinding NBA every single day like we are. Take a break. I mean, this is why we have the All-Star break. It's the time to rejuice your batteries. So I'm excited for Daytona, but I'm also excited for having a couple days off after Daytona. So enjoy the All-Star break. We're back, I think, Thursday next week. I don't have the schedule up in front of me. I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure we're back. Yeah, Thursday. Hey, and it's Keith. Keith comes back with us on the 22nd. So there you go. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you guys again next week.